Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson, looking at life through the eyes of a biblical worldview. He grapples with the issues of education, culture, and family. He doesn't have all the answers, but one thing is for sure. He is committed to preserving our faith and freedom for the next generation. And now, here's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators. I'm a pastor, but the reason I'm Mike's side with you, I'm a father of five, raising our children, homeschooling them on the plains of eastern Colorado. And that's where we're broadcasting from today. In the news, yesterday gold hit $700 an ounce and silver is at 14 and a half. Dave, I wouldn't have believed this last year, but apparently the American dollar is sinking like a rock. The deeper issue here is not our economics, though. Okay, American economics, the American dollar is no longer what it once was, but the real issue is our character. It's our national character. Dave, our economics are just a reflection of our character.
Well, how you spend your money reflects on what you value, and what you value reflects on who you are.
And speaking of sinking like a rock, you know, newspaper subscriptions. Sinking like a rock. Just caught this off the web yesterday. The Los Angeles Times, just over the last 6 months, its subscriptions are down 5.5%.
I thought you said newspapers.
Newspapers.
No, this is Los Angeles Times, though. It's a comic book.
Yeah, it's the comic book. It's down 5.5%. San Francisco Chronicle, Dave, in 6 months, it's dropped 15.6% in its subscriptions. Incredible. 15.6%. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution down 6.5%. The Philadelphia Inquirer down 5.5%, etc. Most newspaper subscriptions are way down. Personally, I think newspapers are dying on the vine, folks. The future is not going to be in media as we have known it, at least with NBC, CBS, ABC, and the newspapers. The future of news is going to be what you get on this radio program or on blogs. By the way, my blog is kevinswanson.com. I'm up there just about every other day. So kevinswanson.com for a blog. That's where people are going to get their news from here on out, Dave. Newspapers are passé.
Well, the paradigm is definitely shifting. It used to be that the newspapers had the exclusive availability of news, and now news is across all the blogs. So instead of going to the one outlet that exclusively has the news, what we're going to have to do is work through outlets that filter through the news to give us that which is significant and linked to other blogs. But more than that, the newspaper subscriptions are falling because the literacy of Americans is dropping faster than the U.S. dollar.
Oh, yes, the public school thing. Yeah, that has contributed to the illiteracy in America over the last 40 years. Of course, we've increased the funding of those schools in just about every state in the union, and that really solves the problem. We create illiteracy, and people are unable to read liberal newspapers, so the end result, they're listening for programs like this one. Huh, Dave?
That's right, that's right. And the only reason to get the newspaper, of course, is to see what's on sale at your local department store.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bush's job approval has dropped to an all-time low. 31% are happy with him. All right, that's 69% really uptight with what Bush is doing. This poll was conducted just last weekend, found 31% of Americans approve of the way Bush is handling his job as president, while 65% disapprove. He is down 3 percentage points over the last week. He's dropped 6 percentage points since April. And Dave, a lot of these folks are conservatives. Conservatives are up in arms. They're saying, what in the world are we getting with George W. Bush? Should have gone Democrat. Here's a study from the Cato Institute, reported in World Magazine. The increase of non-defense federal spending under four Republican presidents, all right? So you get four Republican presidents, Nixon, Reagan, and the Bushes. They got a total of a 12.2% increase in federal spending. That's an average of 3% for each term. Now, the increase under Democrat presidents, Clinton and Carter, was only 3.8%, an average of 1.9% per term. All right, so what World Magazine is saying is few presidents in history, even most liberal Democrats, have embraced big government as enthusiastically as President Bush has. The myth of Republicans being in favor of smaller government is entirely dispelled, ladies and gentlemen. If you want smaller increases in government, support the Democratic Party. I said, smaller increases. I don't want increases. I want decreases. That's my worldview. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But if you want big government, total government, as fast as possible, you need to vote Republican. If you want big government a little slower, vote Democrat. That's been the history of the last, 30 years of American politics.
But there's a second part to that story, and that is the president only creates a budget and signs the budget. Of course, Congress approves the budget. And when you have a Republican president, Democrats are willing to go ahead with the president anything he wants to spend. And Republicans, well, they wouldn't oppose their president. Now, when Democrats want to spend, suddenly Republicans become conservative. So the only way to oppose spending is to have a Democrat president and a Republican Congress, it would seem.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Hegelian dialectic. It is operating today on this program. It operates every day in Washington, D.C., Denver, and everywhere else around the United States. The Hegelian dialectic, why I'm not a conservative. Dave, I'm not conservative. I'm not a conservative. People say, hey, another conservative talk program on this radio station. I'm not a conservative. I'm going to tell you why in just a moment on Generations. We'll be back.
Worldview Radio at its best. This is Generations. This is Generations.
Folks, we're back. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations. Today, the difference between liberals and conservatives and why I'm not a conservative. That's what we want to talk about today. First, a joke. Dave pulled this off the web just this morning. How do you tell the difference between a liberal and conservative? Well, here's what you do. You watch a man drowning 50 feet offshore, okay, and the conservative is going to throw out 25 feet of rope and shout, swim for it. All right, so he's 50 feet away. Conservative throws out 25 feet of rope and says, swim for it, guy, swim for it. The liberal will toss out all 50 feet of rope, drop his own end, and go off to do another good deed.
That's what a liberal do?
Yeah.
Well, I think that really depends. Are the bars still open, and is there another woman available?
Well, yeah, he might be going off to find another woman, as in the case of Ted Kennedy, for example. So there's a lot of variables here. But anyway, folks, difference between liberal and conservative, there are differences. Here's one difference. One difference is conservative men will not, under any circumstances, risk their own lives for that which they believe, but a liberal will only risk the lives of others or the wealth of others for that which they believe. So that's the difference. I think there is a difference between liberals and conservatives, ladies and gentlemen. But here's the other thing. A conservative politician walks into a restaurant, and typically when the waiter comes up and says, sir, what would you like? He will order a little less than whatever that liberal is having over there. And the end result, the cook always gives him more. He always gives him more. The conservative wants a little less. Always wants a little less than whatever the liberal happens to want. Ladies and gentlemen, what's the difference between conservatives and liberals? The difference is not very much. It's not very much because, to a great extent, conservatives and liberals share the same worldview.
Kevin, they're both lemmings. They're all heading towards the cliff. The difference is that Democrats are running as fast as they can to the cliffs, and the Republicans are going a little bit slower.
With the exception of federal spending. This is the thing that's just craziness. Because in the case of Republicans, the last 3 to 4 Republican presidents have spent more money. They have signed budgets. They haven't vetoed budgets. I haven't heard of a Republican president who's ever vetoed a budget. They sign budgets that reflect more spending than the Democrat presidents sign. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just simply because there are very few men out there with conservative principles or principles at all. Here's Russell Kirk. Russell Kirk wrote a book called The Conservative Mind, and he's really, I think he's considered one of the most important men who's written on liberals and conservatives. Russell Kirk defines the radical world or the liberal world as a world that damns tradition, exalts equality, welcomes change, a world that has clutched at Rousseau, speaks of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, swallowed him whole and demanded profits yet more radical, a world crippled by war and peering over a smashed barricade into a gulf of dissolution. Liberals, folks, liberals want to change. Liberals want to change everything. Liberals acknowledge, first of all, no standard, and that is they have given up on any transcendent standard, any particular ethical standard, any objective standard to which a society must head. I think, Dave, it starts with evolution. I think evolution plays into the liberals and conservative agenda today. the evolution, of course, saying that we are to progress in some direction or another, but we have no idea what direction we're progressing to. Also ties into the Hegelian dialectic. We'll get there in just a moment. But liberals are changing. They want to achieve the cutting edge. Here's a 2006 Distinguished Scientist for the Year in the state of Texas. A guy by the name of Eric Pianca has proposed that human population be reduced by 90%. War and famine, says Eric, are not efficient enough to kill billions of people. Disease would be the best population reducer. What would be best, says Eric Pianca, is Ebola virus, a Central African virus that liquefies the internal organs. Now, that's a liberal. That's a true liberal. He's cutting edge. He has no absolute standard. He has no absolute, yet he has an agenda. And this guy has an agenda. He's a university professor in Texas. A typical state-funded professor, I think, wants to eliminate people, wants to wipe out the human population for animals, because he wants to save the animals.
So your tax dollars at work.
Yeah, your tax dollars at work. And this is liberals. Liberals are typically utilitarian, and they're great with the Hegelian dialectic. Again, no standard, only radical change achieved by compromise. And that's what the Hegelian dialectic is. It's, okay, you've got, somebody has a thesis, somebody else brings out an antithesis, and then we work out a compromise, a synthesis, and we want to head in some particular direction, but we have no idea what direction we're headed. We just think it's good to implement change.
And this is what Marx advocated, which was change for the sake of change, constant revolution. We rebel against a free market system to a socialist system, then we'll rebel against a socialist system to who knows what.
All right, liberals acknowledge no standard. They wind up engaging in the Hegelian dialectic or a system of compromise or synthesis, and this happens in the political structures of our state capitals. It happens in our county commissions. It happens everywhere. Hypocrisy is another issue. Hypocrisy, I think, is a human trait. We're all hypocrites. In other words, we all present ourselves better than we really are. Our hearts are corrupt. The Word of God says our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Other than that, we're doing really well. But hypocrisy puts a nice little coating above that, and liberals institutionalize their hypocrisies. And then they build these really neat monuments to hypocrisy. And then you get guys like Rush Limbaugh make millions of dollars unveiling the hypocrisy of the liberal system. But here's what the liberals do. They're so hypocritical, they kill babies with the very best of intentions and call it choice. They celebrate perversion and call it diversity or gay. They create welfare dependency in a world where 75% of African American babies are born without fathers, and they call that compassion. They're very, very generous with other people's money. You see, what liberals do is they're very, very good people, they say. That's what it looks like on the outside. You get excellent packaging. Excellent packaging. The best of packaging. It's hypocrisy. Institutionalized, ladies and gentlemen. That's what liberals have been doing for, well, generations now.
So what they do is they take the law of God, they violate it, and they call that liberty.
Yeah, they do, basically, yeah. And meanwhile, conservatives preserve the ancient moral traditions. But see, here's my beef with the conservatives. Conservatives have basically bought into the same Hegelian dialectic because, see, they've forgotten what standard they need to subscribe to. They have abandoned any commitment to eternal truths. They call themselves conservatives, but they have no effective commitment to eternal truths given to us in the Word of God by God himself. They could care less what God says. They don't subscribe to the Ten Commandments. They don't find that to be the absolute standard for life. They don't look up the Word of God and see that children need to be trained by their parents, Deuteronomy 6-7. They don't see any standard. They don't see any objective standard in God's Word that should direct their economic theory or their education or their politics. They see nothing in God's Word. They are not directed by any absolute standard, and yet they are still conservative. In other words, they want whatever the liberals want, but they want it just a little bit slower.
And maybe the best example of this is the Supreme Court. You take an issue like the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. A conservative will say, well, what did the court say? As opposed to what did the Constitution say? A conservative will say that we got to separate church and state, as opposed to what does God say or what does the Constitution say. They don't appeal to a higher standard. They appeal to the high court, which is a changeable standard, and they don't find anything wrong with that changing standard. So really, in effect, they have no absolutes.
So Sarah decides, who cares what God said in his word? There is no standard. Ladies and gentlemen, conservatives, liberals alike, there is no absolute standard. All there is a Hegelian dialectic, and they wind up corrupting society. Conservatives may be a little bit slower, but we make our way down to Gomorrah because we as a nation, as educational institutions, as human beings, we have abandoned God's word as the source of our truth. We have abandoned biblical revelation. We rely on man to determine where he goes. So here's the question today. Am I a conservative? People ask me this all the time. So what are you, some kind of conservative? Well, Dave, to the extent that I believe we ought to honor our fathers and our forefathers, yes, I'm a conservative. To the extent that I should honor my father and mother and live long upon the earth, I think conservatives do live longer. And I think that if we honor our traditions, if we honor our fathers, our spiritual fathers, our physical fathers, the fathers who established this country, to the extent that we honor them, that's a good thing. But it's honor within the framework of honoring God. See, Dave, it's not abandoning God's truth. It's measuring our forefathers by the standards of God's truth. In other words, I'm not going back to the forefathers that established this nation and say they batted 1,000 on everything. The way they treat witches, the way they handled slavery, etc., was just fine. No, I'm establishing God's law, God's word as my standard. I'm saying in general, I respect the founders of this nation, and to the extent that they stood for the principles of God's word, the principles of liberty and righteousness you find in God's word, I like our forefathers and I'm conservative. I want to maintain the traditions of the Constitution of the United States, and I honor George Washington, Patrick Henry, Samuel Adams, Ben Franklin, and others that founded this nation. So I am going to honor my forefathers, but not to the extent that I'm going to violate the law of God.
And in fact, it's the law of God itself that commands you to give that honor. The Ten Commandments, the Fifth Commandment, honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you.
That's right. To that extent, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a conservative. I believe in honoring our fathers and our forefathers. That's essential. But I also believe in radical change. And a lot of conservatives don't believe in radical change. They want a little less than whatever the liberals having over there. That's what the conservative wants. But I want radical change. Why? Because of Romans 12, 1 and 2. We see the necessity of transformation by the renewing of our minds according to the Word of God. We want radical transformation in our lives, and sometimes God challenges us to radical transformation in our personal lives and our institutional lives. Hey, Dave, let's say that that a guy fell into pornography. Now, typically when you fall into pornography, you do it by way of the Hegelian dialectic, okay? You do it by way of compromise, by way of synthesis, by way of, okay, a little R-rated movie here, maybe a little bit of Playboy here, a little Hustler. Before you know it, over a long period of time, the guy has worked his way into hardcore porn. All right? That's typically the way people fall into sin. They do it by means of compromise after compromise after compromise. They make the slide into Gomorrah. All right? Now, how do you get out of pornography? How do you repent of pornography? You do it gradually. You do it like, okay, I'm just going to stop my Hustler, but not my Playboy. I'm going to throw away all of this, but not this. I'm going to stop all my pornography habit except on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Right, is that the way you do it, Dave? You do it gradually? You repent gradually? It's radical transformation. It's got to be radical transformation. There's an extent to which you need to radically transform society. And conservatives cannot stand that concept. That's why they think they're going to accomplish their agenda politically by an infinite number of minute compromises. But Dave, it never happens. That's just not the nature of men. There is a necessity for radical transformation at points in our society and in our individual lives.
Kevin, it's very important that people focus on direction and not perfection. In other words, man on earth will never be sinless and perfect. But what direction are we heading? And we can look at all the little compromises of the Republican Party, and we see that we are definitely heading in a very liberal direction. But the reason is, I believe, is because they haven't made Christ Lord over law, over economics, over politics. They've held out this area of autonomy for themselves where they think they're smarter than God. They're a little wiser. And of course, Paul says that Christ has made the wisdom of men foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I think sometimes people configure when they configure a conservative, Dave, is that these guys are radical independents, and they don't see the necessity of family, church, and state. And I don't think that's the way I am. I believe God has instituted family. God has instituted the church, and God has instituted the state, and all three need to be healthy, and all three need to be built up at the same time. Sometimes I think conservatives do focus a little too much on politics. They become socialists in that regard. They want to clean up government, and they think if you can clean up government, somehow everything else is going to improve. But if you look at it, I mean, our government, our civil government, ladies and gentlemen, is only a derivative of our families and our churches. If we have unhealthy families, we'll have unhealthy churches. If we have unhealthy churches, we'll have unhealthy politics. The only way we are going to see our society improved is if we rebuild family, church, and state at the same time according to the expectations of God's word. Personally, that, I believe, is the best agenda. It may not be a conservative agenda, but that's my agenda.
Kevin, since the death of Christ, I can only think of one little sliver of time in history when all three jurisdictions, the family, church, and state, were all following God's word. And that was a little time here in America. But for the most of the history of the West, we've either had a flourishing church or a flourishing state, but they've been opposed to each other often. But now we have all three institutions crumbling because we've left the word of God. But if we could go back to the word of God in our churches so it could instruct our families and disciple the nations, we've got to lift up all three institutions, but one's got to lead the way, and I submit to you that has to be the church.
Three legs on one stool. Build up one leg, not enough. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to build up all three legs at the same time. Let's strengthen our families, our churches, and our state at the same time and do it according to the expectations of God's word. Well, folks, in summary, my beef with the word conservative, it's just not precise enough. And when you're not precise, you lose vision. And then you get conservatives with precious little vision. He walks into a restaurant and he says, I guess I'll just have a little less than whatever that liberal is having over there. And ladies and gentlemen, that is not vision. Well, we've just got a minute left, and I'd like to encourage you to get a worldview and get a full-orbed worldview. That's one of the reasons why we offer so many worldview resources at our Resource Center. You can access them online at checkbooks.com, checkbooks.com. Just click on worldview, and you'll see a lot of great resources there. I encourage you to make use of our website, checkbooks.com. You can also check out my blog at kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.